Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. This is Belinda Ellsworth, and we have a great show in store for you today. I have with me Aaron Baker, and Aaron Baker rented the 4-H kitchen at the Whitby Island Fairgrounds to bake her way to a better life. Inspired by her mom's healthy baking and armed with a KitchenAid mixer, she created a revolutionary new way to serve breakfast. The original breakfast cookie was born. For the last 20 years, oats and fruit have been a staple ingredient in her bakery, making them unique in their efforts to provide healthier food products. She's been an official sponsor of the USA Ironman Triathlon team and spotlighted in both the Oprah Magazine and Women's Health. It's my pleasure today to welcome all of you to Aaron Baker. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for being on our show today.
Entirely my pleasure.
Yes. Well, you have got a really great story. So what I'd love you to do is just fill us in a little bit in that bio. Take us through back to the very beginning and how it all began and where you are in your journey today. It's pretty exciting.
Cool. Well, it all began really, my schooling began as a child. My mom is my biggest teacher in my life. And she taught me about the importance of eating whole foods, eating healthy, eating whole foods, and how to do that from a, you know, from a moderate standpoint. And so we grew up on really healthy food, and she baked everything and grew food and canned food. And so I learned a lot about it as I was a child and hanging out in the kitchen with my mom. And she used to make us an oatmeal cake that we went to school with. And, you know, I remember waiting at the bus stop eating it. And that always stuck in my mind. And then when I was about 12 years old, I met Debbie Fields, who is, for younger people, you need to know who that is. That's Mrs. Fields. And she used to make cookies in San Francisco when I was a child. And I met her when I was 12, and I was really, really blown away. Well, I loved her cookies, for starters. I don't know if you had any of those cookies from the beginning of the Mrs. Fields craze.
I did.
I remember not the ones in the mall, but back like in the, I would say in the early 80s, mid 80s. So anyway, I met Debbie Fields, and I was really impressed with her and with her cookie shops and with her product. And at the time, I thought that was something that I would really be interested in doing, is making cookies. And that really struck me. Meeting her really struck me and made a huge impression on me at 12. And I started working really young, just because my parents encouraged me to work if I wanted to buy myself extra things. And so I did a number of different things, from making food and selling it to cleaning hotel rooms and things like that. So I got used to working really early in life. And I found out that if you want something, you can just make some money and buy it. So that was something that I learned really early in life, which was a very valuable lesson. And my mom was a great teacher with that. So when I graduated from high school, I started working with my mother. She taught me how to run a small business. She had several retail stores in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I learned how to run a small business from her, which was wonderful. And I also got a lot of experience in the food and beverage industry in San Francisco as well. So that's kind of where the food bug was kind of sparked again in my early 20s. And at the time, I was looking to come back to Washington, and I got an opportunity to run a bed and breakfast, and came back to Whidbey Island from the Bay Area, and applied everything that I had learned there to this bed and breakfast that I was running and baking for. And I took another job because I wasn't busy enough, and this was a little pizzeria in Langley on Whidbey Island. And I started baking for them as well, making big chocolate cakes and biscotti and things like that. And the chocolate cake I started making had beets in it. And this was a recipe that my mom handed down to me. And she always tried to work in vegetables and things like that into baked goods and you know, treats. So I kind of applied that wisdom to this recipe, and everyone was really loving what I was making. So then I got the spark in my mind to make that oatmeal cake, but put it in a package, and talked with my mom a little bit about that. And we came up with this idea for the breakfast cookie, and she definitely helped me a lot with this, in terms of, you know, kind of helping me, you know, think through it in my mind and, you know, how I was going to do it. And didn't take me long to create the product. Basically just reverse engineered an oatmeal cookie, made it healthy, did what my mom would do. And I used prunes instead of butter. And I used a healthy cold pressed oil instead of like a soybean oil, and created a portable bowl of oatmeal. From a business standpoint, I wanted to create a tool for the masses to eat healthy on the go. And when a food tool, essentially, something that people could eat every day and, you know, get a lot out of it and be healthy at the same time.
Well, that is great. So that's certainly something that you kind of were ahead of the game in 1994, I would say, because that certainly is the craze today, as people are looking for ways to eat healthy on the go. So I'm sure that it's done quite well. I know it's done quite well over the years. So would you like to give our listeners just a kind of, okay, you started from this small kitchen in 1994, and where has this taken you today?
Well, again, you know, touching back on what you just said, you know, creating this concept, and creating, you know, a new category, the breakfast cookie, 20 years ago, was definitely before its time, and, you know, more relevant today than it ever has been, which is so exciting for me. And so essentially when I came up with this idea, I needed to find a commercial space to bake the product. And in most states, it's kind of prohibitive to make food in your own kitchen at home and then sell it to the public. And that just wasn't an option. So I was looking for a commercial space, and I went to the county fairgrounds because I knew that they had kitchens there, and approached them. And any obstacle that I came up against, I just busted through it. And I just said, okay, well, where's a kitchen? And I remembered being at the fairgrounds in the summertime, seeing these kitchens, they're just sitting there. So I offered them $30 a month, and I baked there, and it was a state approved kitchen. So I started there. My mom had given me a KitchenAid mixer for my birthday. You know, those little KitchenAid mixers that everybody has.
Yes.
Yeah. She gave me a KitchenAid mixer, and she said, go make your fortune. And, so I had that under my arm and walked into the 4-H kitchen and got started. And, essentially 21 years later, and I'll fill in the blanks, but it's really impressive to say it this way. you know, here we are in a 30,000 square foot building, and I've never borrowed a penny. And, you know, really what those are the bookends, but what's in between is a wild ride, which is what life is like. So it's been really incredible. But creating a healthy food product 21 years ago was certainly a pioneering move. And it's been that way from the beginning all the way up until now.
That is awesome. One of the things I loved there, and I really want our listeners to take away from that, is that you haven't had to borrow any money whatsoever. Now, not that there's anything wrong with borrowing money, but I think people look at that as their obstacle, and that they can't really start something, or they start thinking about how big it has to be instead of starting small and growing it into something huge like you've done. So it's very impressive. And I just wanted to impress that upon our listeners, because it really is important, not whether you've ever borrowed any money or you haven't, but it's not letting that amount of money stop you from doing something you're really passionate about.
Right. Well, and I can elaborate on that a little bit. I mean, there have been times when, you know, when I had a need to borrow money, and I'll tell you a little story about in the way back in the beginning. This was probably 1996. Yeah. I had finally had my own space in Bellingham after subletting kitchens to use. I found my own space. It was 2,000 square feet. It was, you know, had 2 feet of water in it, and it was awful. and I had to completely clean it out and get it ready for business, which was fantastic, because it was mine. And at the time, I was using a pizza oven, and it was not, I mean, pizza ovens are great for pizza, but not great for baked goods and cookies. So I was using a pizza oven. It was really hindering my production, and I needed to increase my production. So I went to the bank. I had a car at the time that I had bought. It was new, and I had paid it off, so I owned it. I had the pink slip. You know, we used to call it pink slips.
Right.
The title. I had the title. It was worth $9,000, and I went to the bank, and I said, I need to buy an oven, and I can give you my car for collateral, and they turned me down. And to this day, I don't really know why. They just turned me down. I don't know if it was because I didn't have a lot of credit or what, but they just turned me down. And, you know, I walked out of there thinking, all right, well, if that's not going to work, what can I do? So how do I get that oven? So I just sold my car. And I used my bike to deliver cookies and to get what I needed because everything was right downtown. So, you know, and that was really hard. It was a red Jeep, you know, like a soft top. It was so cute. It was my
right.
Wrangler. And I worked my butt off to buy that car and to pay it off. And I was going to buy a house with that money, you know. And then I thought, oh, nuts. Now I have to buy an oven with this. But it was a hard decision. Well, it wasn't a hard decision, but it would be one of those types of decisions that would stop somebody. But what I would have to say is you got to sell the car to get the oven so that you can buy a car later, you know?
Absolutely.
It's just really important to keep turning over rocks. And, you know, if you need to borrow money, it sometimes has to be that way. And sometimes you get turned down and sometimes you get a yes. But my recommendation is just to keep busting through those barriers.
Well, I love that story, Erin, and it's just really about moving forward and always trying to find a solution. And people, real true entrepreneurs, find solutions instead of being faced with challenges. So I love that. So tell us how today this business, owning your own business now for over 20 years, has shaped your lifestyle.
Well, when I read that question, and as you ask it to me, and as I say it over and over in my head, the only thing that keeps coming into my head is I am my bakery and my bakery is me. I don't know. It's always been my job. It's always been my passion, and I eat the way I bake, and I have a very healthy lifestyle here in this area. And it's just kind of what's on the inside is what's on the outside. Really. It's kind of one and the same.
That's awesome. And yeah. I think that when people are truly living in their happy place, I find that people just love what they do. And so it doesn't seem like work. It just becomes a part of who they are and what they right. do and an extension of themselves. And I think you clearly articulated that in a very great way. So what would you say that some of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you succeed in owning your own business?
The two things I think that have helped me the most are empathy and perseverance. I think, you know, for me, allowing everything to go through an empathetic filter is very important, not only for yourself, but everybody around you. You know, seek first to understand, in that sense of making space to understand the other individual's position so that you can show each other empathy. And I think that that's a very, very important thing when you're working with people closely and asking them to follow you on a path where you're pioneering a product that is, you know, so new and unique. So it's been a very important thing for me. Perseverance is, well, that's just kind of been, that's kind of my middle name, I think. and I don't think that it would be possible. I don't think being an entrepreneur is possible without having perseverance and waking up with it every day. Because in this world, in the entrepreneurial world, there's not a lot of constants to hang on to. There's just a lot of dynamic change, and that can make people feel very unstable. So persevering through that is very, very important, and knowing that you have to have that.
Great. What are some things that you think that you do on a regular basis to just help you with that perseverance? Because I know exactly what you're speaking to. It's like everybody thinks they're going to get to a place where it's going to be perfect. I think that's a misnomer of a lot of entrepreneurs is I'm finally going to get there. In reality, I know myself, I've been on this journey for 21 years as well. There is never an end in sight. It's like you just live it every day and it takes its changes and its courses, and you just have to get up every day and kind of be ready to take on those challenges. But is there anything that you do as far as scheduling, or is there things that you listen to or things that help you to just keep that perseverance and constant and be ready for change always? Is there something that you do that helps you to be ready for that?
Yes, I certainly endeavor to do a number of different things to help me balance those things. You know, taking care of yourself personally, I think, is really crucial. I think that's one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs have a challenge with, because, you know, we are responsible for everything and it is our names on the building, and, you know, it just puts us in a whole different level of what I call being punched in. I mean, you're just always on. So really important to do things away from work that kind of allow you to, you know, turn off your mind a little bit. You know, for me, I have a horse, so that, you know, spending time with my horse, my animals, I have a great dog and great friends, and I paddleboard and I mountain bike and I snowboard. I just do a lot of kind of athletic pursuits, and I'm really creative. So I like to make things at home. I bake. I create and I exercise, and I try to do as much of that as possible, because that helps me feel rejuvenated for when I need to come in, you know, into work and really be on my game.
Oh, that's awesome. Those are two really great things. So share with us now, and you've shared one small one with this oven, which I love that story. I love those early stories. But tell us about an obstacle or a challenge that you've faced, maybe more recently, and how you've worked through that.
One obstacle that has kind of remained a constant, but that continues to be an obstacle, but it's also what makes my company the most unique, is that I'm making a product like no other. The breakfast cookie has more whole food in it than any other product really on the market, distributed as widely as the breakfast cookie is. And what I mean by that is the first ingredient is whole grain oats, and the third ingredient is fruit, is prunes, whole fruit, not fruit juice, but whole fruit. And because of the high food value and the whole food value, we have about half of what the shelf life would ordinarily be for any typical snack food on the market. So any of the energy bars out there, or, you know, anything that would be selling next to the breakfast cookie has almost twice the amount of shelf life. So that has been the case from the beginning. And it's something that has been a challenge from the beginning, because the distribution system in our country for food is set up for products that have a year to 2 year shelf life. So essentially, This challenge has been the biggest challenge, but remains a challenge. But at the same time, it's what makes us most unique. So I really pride myself with taking the biggest challenge that we have with our products, and it also being the thing that makes us the most different.
So going back now to sort of filling in some more gaps of the story, you guys have really done some amazing things. And why don't you share with our listeners I looked at your timeline on your website, and it's pretty incredible some of the places and placements that you've been and accomplishments that you've had. So why don't you share with our listeners just a few of those accomplishments and maybe some of the ones that you're the most proud of?
Well, it was pretty exciting when we got a call from Food Network back in, I don't know, 03, 04, and they wanted to do an unwrapped segment on us, which was, I was just over the moon about that. Because, you know, we've really not worked with maybe one PR company one or two PR companies in the entire time that my company's been around. So most of these PR hits really just kind of came to us, you know, organically, which is one of the things that I'm really proud of. So the Food Network was a huge thing. They came to town, they brought a whole film crew and over a couple of days, and that was really incredible. And then to see my bakery on national TV, just rerunning over and over and over again, was just an amazing experience. One of the other really exciting things that happened was, we had one of our customers that lost a lot of weight, was on the cover of a magazine in the early 2000s. That was really fantastic because her life just changed, you know, dramatically. And that was exciting. Her name was Cynthia. being chosen as one of the best 125 packaged foods for Health Magazine, Women's Health Magazine. That was huge because we were in there with, you know, all the big guys. And that was very validating for me in terms of me pushing this, you know, this boulder uphill for 20 years. Certainly always love it when I get a nod from Oprah. Who doesn't love that?
Right? Absolutely.
she loved the granola. You know, the triathlon stuff was fun and, you know, pretty effective at the time and certainly, you know, resonated with the active aspect of our products. And there have been so many great things that have happened in terms of, I mean, the press has been great, but just being here 21 years and, you know, all the great people that have been here with me through this whole ride and have supported me. So it's, you know, lots of highlights, lots and lots of them.
Yeah, that is so awesome. And I'll bet that was exciting. I can only imagine to watch that episode run again and again. I've not seen that one. And I've seen a lot of those episodes.
Oh, crazy for cookies.
Oh, I have to be on the lookout for that because they still run those periodically. So that's awesome. So tell us what exactly working from your happy place means to you, both professionally and personally.
For me, what brings me the most joy is, it sounds so cliche, but it's absolutely true, is helping other people. And my vehicle is through my food. And then, of course, taking care of everybody in my building. And, you know, one of my biggest goals in life is to reduce childhood obesity. And I wish there was a prettier way to say that. I'm going to figure that out. But to help little kids get healthier. And, you know, when I was a kid, my mom was sending me out the door with something healthy in my hand because we were lucky enough to have one parent working and one parent at home. You know, nowadays that's really, really uncommon. And, you know, a lot of kids are showing up to school without having eaten or without having eaten anything but a Tootsie Pop that they bought at the convenience store on their walk to school. And so what I've been doing for the last decade is feeding kids at the Boys and Girls Clubs breakfast cookies. So essentially, we just send breakfast cookies to a number of different clubs up and down the I-5 corridor, about 10,000 cookies a month. And they have them for breakfast or for snack or for whatever. But they're a staple at the Boys and Girls Clubs here. And we've really been making a great dent in this community in terms of kids having their bellies full of healthier food and knowing what it feels like to eat something that's not a Pop-Tart or that's not like one of those gross pastries from a convenience store. So this is what's most important to me, is to change the world and to help kids, because parents just have such a tough time these days keeping up. So I'm helping them.
That's awesome.
And it's, you know, I would just encourage people to, you know, working from your happy place is doing what you love. And that's a big question to ask yourself.
It is a big question. And it's interesting, though, that with each week that I'm asking this question, I would say for the people that have been really successful, their answer always comes back. My happy place is being able to help others. And in your case, it's, you know, helping kids learn to eat healthier. And it's always something. And I think it's a driving force that I think people should really take a look at. It's like, what's the end result? I've got this great idea, but in the end, what am I doing it for? And I think the people that do it for the right reasons are the people that end up being more successful in the end. And that's what I've seen over and over. That is the common thread between all really successful entrepreneurs.
Well, that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
That's where you can dig deep and grab the perseverance and grab the inspiration and grab the passion. That's where it comes from. And if you don't love what you do, it doesn't bubble up. It doesn't spark. And so you just don't have it. And, you know, it's that equity that you can't tap into unless you love what you do.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean that you know, I mean, I think that's why the question is so important, because it doesn't have to be a direct connect. Like for me, like I make cookies and I feed cookies to the little kids and it helps them get healthier. You know, it could be like, you know, I'm really passionate about IT, you know, advancements, but I want to help the Humane Society. I mean, those two things can connect without a doubt. But I think it's just people have to ask themselves what they love. What makes them really, really happy?
Right. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs or follow their passion?
Well, number one, ask yourself that question. And until you get an answer that gives you goosebumps and makes your stomach butterfly, then you're not there yet. And unless you're trying to send man to the moon, you don't need to be in a huge hurry, you know, slow, methodical steps so that you can test and measure. And what I just learned recently, a better term is fail fast. Because failing isn't really failing. It's just test and measure. So we learn from testing. We learn from I don't even call them mistakes anymore. It's just challenges. Challenges are just learning opportunities. So for me, it was figuring out exactly what just, you know, makes my stomach go all butterfly, makes me so happy. And then figuring out how I can express that in a way that makes my house payment and changes the world.
That's great. You know, I love that you said, don't be in a hurry. And it's something that I even struggle with myself, even though I know it. But I get excited and I want things to go quicker. Like even with this podcast, it's like, okay, I always just say, I feel like you're on that race to nowhere. And every time I catch myself on the race to nowhere, it's like, hurry up and wait. You know, it's that same thing in the airport. Everybody goes and gets in line to what? Wait. And I always laugh at that because I'm in airports every week and I watch everybody run to the line and it's like, to wait. And we're all going to eventually get on the plane and we're all going to eventually get on there and sit down and before it takes off. And yet people stand there and wait. And so I think your advice to not be in a hurry and to measure and test and make sure that you're doing things in the right way moving forward and not being afraid to fail. So I think those are some really, really great points. So in closing, would you like to share some exciting things that you're working on?
Well, what are we working on? We're working on all kinds of things. Well, we're working on our infrastructure. That's really great. We've got some new machines in. That's been very, very exciting. You know, buying a new machine is kind of like buying a house these days. It's a big purchase.
Yes.
That's very exciting. You know, the new packaging equipment and working on some new products. We are gaining non-GMO Project Verified certification for all of our products. Well, actually, it's essentially all of our ingredients, which make all of our products. So that's pretty exciting for us. That's been a long time coming and, you know, quite a process. So we're very proud of that. We're continuing our steadfast commitment to making healthy, hassle-free whole food snack food. So that's what's really, really important to me is just to continue to keep that innovation engine moving forward and at the same time going slow enough that we don't forget to smell the flowers.
Right. So how can our listeners find your delicious breakfast cookies and how can they connect with you?
Well, the best thing to do is to start with our website, I think. Check out our website, learn about us. It's a simple, easy website to navigate. And it's erinbakers.com, which is kind of cool, very easy to remember. If you forget my name, just remember Baker. And we also have all of our products on Amazon. And then we also work with a number of different retailers all over the country with an emphasis on the West Coast, the Midwest, and the Southwest.
Okay, great. Well, it has been delightful having you as our guest today, and we wish you much continued success with Erin's Bakers.
Thank you, Belinda.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.